Hello world, welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast, and thank you for tuning in to 88.5 The Word. Such a joy to have you tuning in with us today. I want to give you a great big God bless you. We're going to pick up here in the book of James, chapter 1, and we're going to hit verse 12 one more time and try to get to the end of the chapter. James chapter 1, of course, we covered times of testing, times of trial, understanding that whether it's a test from God to prove our faithfulness or whether it is a chastening from the Lord, that we can consider it and count it a joyful thing because God is using the trial, the test, to bring us closer to Him, to strengthen our faith, that we may stand upon His Word, and that we may come to maturity and to sanctification in our lives, that we can be set apart for holy use. And he said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Ask in faith. Faith that always wins. Faith that always wins is faith that stands upon the Word of God. And we have faith today. Heavenly Father, bombard us once again with your anointing. Let us feel your presence and your power. Strengthen our hearts. Open up our ears to hear the Word of God. Anoint me, Lord, every word, every syllable, to preach your Word today, to declare your truth into teaching the people. Hallelujah. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your presence and your power. And we thank you for the assurance of your word that what you declared shall come to pass. And we thank you for your faithfulness today in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Once again, take that word temptation and replace it with test. Blessed is the man that endures times of testing. You can use that word testing and temptation interchangeably here, but the context is more in the way of testing and trial in your life. But blessed is the man who endures. You know what that word endure means? It means to put up with. It doesn't mean don't say I don't accept that. I hear people all the time. They go through a trial in life and they say this right here. They say, I just don't accept that. Well, I've got news for you. Whether you accept it or not, you're going through. So we might as well just realize that God wants to teach us, that God wants to help us, that God wants to strengthen us and give us His grace that is sufficient to get through every test, every trial, every tribulation. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, I was called up into the third heaven. The third heaven is where God is. He said, I was shown things. He was given a revelation that he could not even speak of. He could not even declare to humanity. And he said, there was a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, he called it, to buffet him, to literally buffet his body. Now, many people have speculated that Paul was dealing with an eye disease. Many speculate that he was dealing with some sort of physical abnormality or infirmity or malady or malfunction. But the simple truth is that nobody really knows what the Apostle Paul was dealing with here. And I believe the reason we don't know exactly what it is, I believe the Spirit of God did it strategically that way so that we all could relate to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Because if he had something wrong with his eyes, then we cannot all relate. But we can all relate, whether it be a temptation that we struggle with, whether it be a physical ailment, whether it be something we don't like about ourselves, whether it be something we struggle with. We can all relate to what the Apostle Paul declared. Because he said, I prayed three times for the Lord to remove this from my life, and the Lord would not remove it. However, God gave him the grace to endure the time of trial, the buffeting of Satan. He'd give him grace to endure it. And my friend, that's what God wants to do in your life today. He wants to give you grace to endure the time of testing. Because blessed is the man that endureth temptation and testing. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. My friend, we're just going to have to put up with it. And we do it in faith. We ask God for wisdom to deal with what we're facing in our lives. Because it will not last. This too shall pass. My beloved mother has said that all my life. This too shall pass. And I'm declaring that to you today. That whatever you're facing, whatever the trial or test is in your life, it will pass. It will pass. And you will pass the test. Verse 13, let us pick up there. Notice what James declares here under the inspiration of God. Let no man say that when he is tempted. Now, we're going to transition from testing to temptation. Remember, I told you the difference. Being tested is to strengthen your faith. God will not tempt you with evil. That's what James is saying here. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, God will test you. God will bring a test into your life. And many come back with, well, the Bible says that God tempted Abraham with wanting him and requiring him to sacrifice Isaac. However, if you look at the Hebrew word tempt there, it is test. God tested Abraham, just as God brings tests into your life. But God will never tempt you with evil. He will not be like an angry girlfriend and set you up and try to see if you will cheat on her. God is not paranoid. God is not frantic in the manner that he wants to see if you're going to love him or not. No, God will not tempt you with evil. He will not set you up, you see. Let no man say that when I am tempted, he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. I received a question concerning this verse. And the question was, well, if God cannot be tempted, why was Jesus tempted after his baptism, after the Spirit of God rested upon him, after the Spirit of God anointed him for ministry? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 that the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil tempted him with every aspect of temptation that you and I will ever face. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the reason he went through that, he went through it in his humanity, not his divinity. You have to realize that he was 100% man all the while. He was 100% God. He was the God-man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And yes, he was tempted. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, for we have not a high priest that can not be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but when all points tempted like as we, yet without sin, therefore. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace in the time of trouble. He's your high priest today. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he has been where you have been, whatever temptation you are facing today. Listen, whatever it is, don't say that it's from God, because God will not tempt you with evil. I hear people say all the time, and you hear men say when a good-looking girl walks by them and that neck does a 360 turnaround, and they'll make the comment, well, God must be testing me. I can't look. I can't. No, God does not do that. Anytime you are tempted with evil, it's one of two things. It's either the devil tempting you with evil, or it's your flesh. Don't blame it all on the devil, because a lot of it is your flesh, you see. Because if your don't-look voice is weaker than your look voice, then you need to get in God's Word. You need to repent. You need to ask God to help you and strengthen you. But don't say that you are tempted with evil by Almighty God, because he cannot be tempted with evil himself. Neither tempts he any man. Look at verse 14. But every man, I want you to underline that in your Bible, every man, black men, white men, yellow man, red men, blue men, purple men, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Can I tell you that everybody on this people planet, every born-again believer, is tempted in their lives? Now, I know some act like they're not tempted. I grew up in a church where you couldn't say you were tempted, because if you said you were tempted, you were giving place to the devil, and you just didn't do that. Bless God, you were the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. You were blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. And you did not admit that you had a problem. And it ended up hurting a lot of people, because people like myself would look at these elders in the church, and I would think that they were not tempted with anything. And I just thought to myself, well, if I could just get to the place that they are, then I won't be tempted as well. But come to find out that they were tempted just like me. And it's important that we as the body of Christ, that we as the people of God, confess this and admit this, that we are all tempted. James said it clearly. Every man is tempted. Every man. And sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose. Notice what he says. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You have to realize that every one of us have our own lust. We tend to equate lust with sexual immorality in the church all the time, but that's not the case here. The context of lust is anything that draws you away or pulls you away from God. It could be lying. Have you ever met anyone that just lied? They didn't have to lie, they just lie. They say they had lunch with Raquel Welch yesterday, they just lie. No reason, just lie. How about anger? Anger's a lust. Uncontrollable rage. Many people battle with that. That's your lust. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. How about stealing? I've seen people steal. They had all the money in the world, did not have to steal, but they got a rush from it. That's your own lust. How about quitting? Oh, yes. Some of you are getting nervous. You think I'm going to say your thing, but quitting is a lust. Giving up. Giving up on God. Giving up on God's word. It's a lust. And every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice what he says here. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. You have to understand something. You have your own lust. Everybody has that one thing. That one thing that tends to pull them away from the call of God. That one thing. Oh, you may not battle with anger. You may not battle with pornography, but you always want to quit. Everything you start, you quit. You quit that marriage. You quit this marriage. You quit this church. You quit that church. Your lust isn't quitting, but you have a hard time with coveting other people's wives and spouse, and you have a hard time with pornography. That may not be your lust, but you have a hard time stealing. You have a hard time working a cash register because you're tempted to put a few dollars in your pocket. Oh, yes. This is a reality, my friend. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Everybody has their own lust. And enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. You see, lust has to be conceived in your life. Just the thought of temptation is not a sin. Many people think that just because they have a bad thought that that's a sin. It's not a sin to have a bad thought. It's what you do with that thought. Do you ponder upon that thought? Do you carry it out into action? Or do you cast it down? You're going to receive bad thoughts because you're living in this flesh. The enemy is always throwing darts at you. And those bad thoughts will come into your mind, but the thing you must do is cast them down. The Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Cast it down. Don't ponder upon it. Don't let it bring forth and give birth into action. Don't let it conceive and become a part of your life. Notice what he says. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away. You know, there are many who believe that once you're in covenant with God, you cannot backslide, that you cannot lose your relationship with God. But can I assure you that James declares to us, the brother of Jesus Christ, he says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice what he said. You have to be there in order to be drawn away. You can be drawn away. You can be drawn away from God. You have to be there before you can be drawn away of your own lust. And he says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin... Notice this very interesting remark here. When it is finished, it brings forth death. My friend, when sin takes completion in your life, that's when backsliding is conquered. That's when backsliding is conceived in your life by sin. Because what happens is you're serving God, you love God, you're faithful to God, you're faithful to the church, you're faithful to one another, you're faithful to His Word, you're faithful to prayer. And you're faithful to the call that He's placed upon your life. And then sin, your own lust, that temptation, you give in. Then before you know it, you give in again. And then before you know it, you're missing a Sunday. And then you're missing a whole month of church. And then you've missed 6 months. And then before you know it, you're walking in the ways of the world once again in a backslidden state. Why? Because your lust hath conceived, and it brought forth sin, and sin was finished in your life. You see, I believe that everybody is different in this aspect. Everybody doesn't backslide with one. You don't backslide with one sin. If you fall short of the glory of God, if you fall in and you give in to temptation, you repent before God. Keep a repentive spirit. Repent and ask God to forgive you. That's why I like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. All unrighteousness. But it's the habitual sin. Because there are a lot of people who sin. They repent. Tomorrow, they do the same thing. Repent. Can I tell you that that is practicing a lifestyle of sin and you are not in covenant with God? Want scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. How about 1 John 3 and verse 9? It says, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. But if you look into the Greek language of that, it says that he that practices sin is of the devil. So if you're practicing a lifestyle of sin, then it will bring separation between you and God. And you are in a backslidden state because you are drawn away of your own lust. And I know what people are thinking right now. We're living under grace, not our works. Yes, but what did Titus declare under the inspiration of God? The Apostle Paul declared in Titus chapter 2 and verses 9 through 12. He said, The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present age. You see, grace is stricter than the law ever was. The grace of God teaches us to live holy and righteous and godly in this present age, and to live before God with humility in the way of holiness. But when sin is finished, you can rest assured that it will bring forth death. And remember what I told you in the last broadcast, that testing, the times of testing that God brings into our lives, can turn into times of temptation, because what happens is if we don't keep the faith, if we don't stand in faith, and if we don't seek the wisdom of God in our circumstances and in our situation, because it's not the trouble that you get into, it's not the test that comes into your life, it's how you react to it. How do you react to it? Do you stand firm and square your shoulders in faith, or do you crumble under the pressure and give in to the world and into the flesh? It's so easy to go back to the old life, isn't it? It's so easy to fall back into that old way of life. Fall back into the depression. Take more pills. Drink more alcohol. It's always easier to go back to the lust of the flesh and start sufficing the fleshly desires that lead to nowhere. They lead to being finished. Notice what he said. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. You know what death means there? We think that death in the scripture means cessation of life, but that's not what it means, because you will live forever. You will never cease to live. Death in the scripture always means separation from God. When sin is finished in your life, you will be separated from God. So I call you back to the cross today. I call you back and I ask you to repent, backslider. Repent and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay upon all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Every good, every perfect gift comes down from God, and He wants to give you His grace and His love during the time of test and trial in your life. And if you're facing heavy temptation by the enemy, or if you feel your flesh seeking after those worldly desires once again, it's time to die upon the altar of sacrifice. It's time to commend your body, to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. Let Him burn out all the fat, all the stuff that hinders your walk and your relationship with Almighty God. Do not allow sin to become complete in your life, to draw you away and separate you from God. But keep the faith, 1 John 5:4. He that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Keep the faith. Believe God. Stand upon His word, and He will see you through. Notice what He said. Verse 21. Lay aside all filthiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Do you want to overcome sin in your life? Do you want to overcome addiction in your life? Get the word of God in your heart. Study His word. Ponder His word. Declare His word over your life. And believe that God's word, the truth of God's word, will override the facts of your life any day of the week. Oh yes, the fact is that you are broke. But the truth of God's word is that give and it shall be given unto you. Oh yes, the fact of the matter is you're sick in your body. But the truth of God's word, by His stripes you are healed. Stand upon His truth. Oh yes, the fact is your marriage is in a shamble right now. You and your spouse are going at it. But the truth of God's word is what God has put together. Let no man put asunder. Let no devil destroy. Oh yes, the fact is the devil is tempting you from every side. But the truth of God's word is that He has given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the devil. That's why He said, verse 22, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if ye be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. My friend, when you study God's word and you hear this teaching, don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Let it become engrafted into your heart. Pray and seek God that this word becomes implanted into your heart, and it shall spring forth into everlasting life, and you can be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Because when you look into this perfect law of liberty, when you read the word of God, it reveals to you how unholy you are and how unrighteous you are. But the good part about God's word is it not only reveals who we are, but it can change who we are. And it can regenerate us and make us a new creature in Christ if we come to the foot of the cross and we repent of our sins. And it will not become finished in our lives, and we can keep our relationship and our covenant with God today. And we can believe God's word. We can stand upon the truth of His word and be a doer. And we can look into the perfect law of liberty like looking into a mirror. It reflects how bad we are, but His word can cleanse us, help us, strengthen us, and help us to walk in faith and believe God. Verse 26, If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My friend, if you're going to be a doer of the word, you have to declare God's word. You cannot unwaver in your faith. You cannot declare God's word 1 minute in prayer and then call up your friend on the phone and tell him how bad things are and how you don't know how it's going to work out. You have to stand upon His word in all circumstances and know that He is God and that there is none else. Hallelujah. And pure religion is taking care of the people that God cares about. It's not relegated just to orphans and widows. No, no, no. Everything that God cares about, He has placed the love of God within our hearts for us to care about it as well. Let us not be bogged down with the tests of our life. Let us not be bogged down with being tempted on every side, but let us stand sure in faith and overcome the world. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 10:13 that declares this. There is no test, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, for God is faithful. And He will not allow you to be tested or tempted above that which you are able, but will with the test and temptation provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. You know what your way of escape is? It's the strength of God to bear it and to walk up under it. And He'll give you the strength to do it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you once again for tuning in to the Voice of Power broadcast. And I want you to remember that you can support this ministry financially as well with your prayers. And I would like you to send your prayer request to me. You can get an email on our website at voiceofpower.org. or you could write to me at P.O. Box 272, Bethania, North Carolina 27010. And once again, this is the Voice of Power broadcast, and the just shall live by faith.